Turn your Bible, please, to Acts of the Apostle, Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7. I thank Mr. Greer again for his words of welcome. It's nice to be here to preach the word even tonight. Acts chapter 7, begin to read together from verse number 54, and then we'll be reading down to chapter 8, verse 1, and then over to chapter 9, and there we will be reading the first 9 verses. So chapter 7, verse 54, please. Let's hear the word of God. Acts 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, that is Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now you go over to chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's again just unite our hearts in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord, all who know and love him. Here we are again in a gospel meeting, fully aware of our great need of God, and the help of the Holy Ghost. If this meeting is to tell for God and for his glory, then we must have the Spirit of God that Christ himself gives. Let us all pray. Let us all unite our hearts now in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the quietness and stillness of this meeting house, we draw near to thy throne in Jesus' name. We come not because we're worthy, but we come because Christ is worthy. We thank thee for the Lamb for sinners slain. We thank thee for the Saviour of sinners. We thank thee for the one who loved sinners and gave himself for them. And O God, we cry to thee with thankful hearts, realizing in our souls that all that Christ did on this earth, he did for sinners, that he might take them at last to heaven. And O God, we come to thee now at this juncture, and Lord, I confess my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me in this meeting. And O God, thou knowest that I lie not. I need thy help. I need thy grace. Lord, empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Give that divine power, that divine unction, that anointing from heaven. Lord, we stand under the victory of the cross. We pray against the devil and all the powers of darkness that array themselves against the church. And we pray that the Spirit of God will be poured out in this gathering. Close us in with God. Do your work in hearts. Extend the everlasting kingdom of God and of grace. Save the lost and bring glory to thy great name. We ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Saul of Tarsus had a reign of terror against the Christian church. His very name worked terror in the minds of the saints. It is not too much to say that. The scriptures tell us about Saul that, well, he was a Jew. He was born in the city of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. And yet he was schooled in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a great Jewish scholar, an eminent Pharisee and member of the Sanhedrin. And yet Paul, or Saul as he was then known, Saul of Tarsus, he had, and he was to have, such an enmity against the church of Jesus Christ. He was a zealous Jew. He persecuted Christians unto death. He put them in prison, both Christian men and Christian women. Saul himself tells us in his own testimony, if you want to turn to Acts 26, Acts chapter 26 and verse number 9, Acts 26 verse 9. Saul tells us here in his testimony as he's before Agrippa, Acts 26 verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. He also, in writing to young Timothy, in his first epistle, he tells him, Timothy, I was a blasphemer. A persecutor, injurious to the church of Christ. Here was a man filled with a zeal that was against God, filled with venom against Christ and his church, against God and his truth, against the Holy Ghost and his movings. We began reading tonight in Acts 7, when Stephen was martyred, calling upon God. Saul of Tarsus was in charge. We then went into Acts chapter 8, go back there. Acts chapter 8 verse number 1. And it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. What happened to Stephen in that moment of mob fury? Because that's the only way it could be described. What happened to him? Saul took great delight in it. And then go to Acts chapter 9 verse 1. And Saul yet, it literally can be read, and Saul still breathing out threatenings. And slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. It's the onward march of a reign of terror. That's what it was. Against the church of Jesus Christ. Against the Lord's people. But tonight, from Acts chapter 9, I want to speak on the day Saul's reign of terror ended. The day Saul's reign of terror ended. That's what I want to look at. With the help of God, as he gives us grace here tonight. And the first thing I want to show you, it was a day of terror. It was a day of fury. As I've already stated, in Acts chapter 9 verse 1, it follows on really from chapter 8 verse 1. If you want to read the two verses together with me a moment, Acts 8 verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Now go to Acts 9 verse 1. And Saul, and we'll read it like this, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest. Now, in between Acts chapter 8 verse 1 and chapter 9 verse 1, we have the church scattered. They went everywhere preaching the word. Multitudes were converted. The Ethiopian eunuch saved. And it gives us the marvelous truth, dear believer, that in spite of all Saul did and all that the devil was stirring up, the gospel was not bound. The gospel continued to go forth. It continued to go forth. Chapter 8 verse 1. Saul consenting unto his death. Then we have the marvelous movings of God. And yet in Acts 9 verse 1 we have this. And Saul still, or yet, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue,
that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. The chaos, the blood spilling, the anarchy that this man had inflicted on the church of Christ at this point in his life, it only whetted his appetite for more. That's not too much to say. That's what's in view. A sinner who first appears on the page of Scripture, as I have called it, at the awful mob fury on that dear man of God, Stephen, at his martyrdom. That's how he appears. And here we have him now, desiring to leave Jerusalem, as if he hasn't done enough there, and desiring now to carry on his persecution into the city of Damascus to take this reign of terror further. That's what he's doing. He's done Jerusalem. Now he wants to take it to Damascus. Takes it further. You see, the reason Saul, in chapter 9, verse 2 here, the reason he desired these letters of the high priest was that though Damascus was in a foreign country and under a different government, yet the high priest in Jerusalem claimed a jurisdiction over all persons belonging to the Jewish church wherever they lived. And the reason Paul wanted these letters was that he wanted these people brought to Jerusalem to be tried before the high priest and the Sanhedrin for their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what's in view. Here he is. This reign of terror. Saul of Tarsus. Bent in the destruction of the church. Bent in his rejection of Jesus Christ. It was a day of terror, a day of fury, a day of wickedness, a day of sin. And at this point in the life of this young man, no time for Christ and his gospel. No time for him. The only time he had for it was to get it put down, get it destroyed. That's how Saul appears in the page of Scripture. Unsaved. How would you appear? If God were to describe your life up until now, how would he describe it? Maybe you will protest immediately in your heart and you will say, there's no way I can be associated with the behavior of Saul of Tarsus. Just no way. Wouldn't do it. I'd never harm the church. But sinner, listen. There's the same underlying problem. There's the same heart at enmity against God. Your sin, as Saul's was, his sin, his heart against God, you too are a rejecter of Christ. You too are in your rebellion. The same spirit that led Saul of Tarsus leads you. And as we saw last week with Balaam, if you never repent of it, it's going to end in disaster. It's going to end in disaster. You can't live at enmity against God, a rejecter of Christ, against the gospel, no time for the Savior, and it not end in disaster. It's going to end in disaster. For Saul of Tarsus, it's a reign of terror. But I want to show you something else. It was also a day of exclusion, this day in Saul's life. Verse 1 again, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That term, against the disciples of the Lord, it shows exclusion. What do I mean by that? It means that among the disciples of the Lord, Saul was not counted in. He was against them. Religious, yes. Saved, no. Knew the Scriptures? Yes. Knew the Christ of the Scriptures? No. He wasn't a member of the body. He wasn't a member of the church. He wasn't among the disciples of the Lord, and the Bible tells us it. And dear people, some of you, dear people, and we thank God you're in this meeting, but that sums you up to a T. many of you, could be said. Religious? If that's what you call church going? Yes. Saved? No. Know the book? Yes. Know the Christ of the book? No. You'll be found in the house of God? Yes. But you know not the one we worship. You know not the one that we come to sit before. Here you are, not on your way to heaven. The Lord Jesus is not your Savior. God is not your Father. The Holy Ghost is not your comforter and guide. And you, like Saul of Tarsus, are presently outside the people of God. You're not among them, spiritually, I mean. You're not counted in. Saul yet breathing out threatenings against the disciples of the Lord. He wasn't a member. He wasn't among them. But I want to show you something else with this day. It was also a day of journeying. Look at verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. As he journeyed, it gives a sense of this continuing lifestyle. As he journeyed, this campaign that he's gone on with, this attitude, this way against the church, as he journeyed, he's just gone on down the same road. Young person, older person, unsaved. How long have you been on this journey? We're only pulling simple thoughts out of this. Because God marked that Saul was on that journey. As he journeyed. How long you've been on this journey. Of rejecting Christ. In your sin. Down the broad road. Sinner, that is not a journey you want to be taken any further. You want that journey to cease immediately. As we've already said, it's going to end in disaster. It is going to end in disaster. As he journeyed. And there you are tonight in this meeting, another meeting before God, and you're not saved in your sin, journeying on. Does the Lord say of a sinner in this meeting in the Free Presbyterian Church, and they've been attending it for years, as he or she journeyed? Just going on down the same road. Seemingly no end to it. There's seemingly no end to this road Saul of Tarsus is on. He's caused havoc in Jerusalem. That's not enough any longer. He wants to take it to Damascus. He's just pursuing this mad career. That's what he's doing. As he journeyed. Well, let me ask across this auditorium, this congregation, what sort of journey are you on? There only really are two journeys. You either journey in grace or you journey in sin. You either journey with the saints to heaven or you make your way down the road to eternal ruin. So across this congregation, what journey are you on? At this point in Saul's life, There's no question of what journey he's on. He's gone down this road that he was always on. But I want you to know it's a journey that the Lord knew all about. Sinner friend in this meeting, has the Lord not set barricades in your journey to stop you, And you've hurdled every single one of them. You've hurdled the gospel preaching. You've hurdled the Christian home. You've hurdled the Christian workmate. You've hurdled them all. You've hurdled the tears of your parents. You've hurdled it. It would seem as if your career can't be stopped. Because everything that's in front of you to stop you going to hell, you just seem to hurdle it. And go on the way you're going. Journeying in spite of all the barriers. But I want you to know something else about this journey. Here is the real point. The Lord noted it. Luke writes, as he journeyed, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Oh, note it there, unsaved friend. Every part of the journey, note it. His mindset, his intentions, his desire, who he had this intention against, the disciples of the Lord. The journeys of people in Scripture are recorded for us. And we'll look at a few of them, just to note this. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 9. Genesis chapter 12, verse 9. The Lord notes the journeys of those on earth. Genesis 12, verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going on toward, still toward the south. Now turn to Genesis chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33. Verse number 17. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. Now turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Because here's a young man. And he has decided he's going to go on a journey. Luke 15 verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance on riotous living. Listen, sinner. Listen to me. Abraham and Jacob did not write the book of Genesis. They were dead long before Moses was born, who did write it. But the point is, God told Moses their journeys, what they did. And in Luke 15, we have Jesus Christ preaching. And he tells the story of a young man that couldn't wait to go on a journey. A journey away from home. A journey away from all the restraints of that good home that he was in. And he had his plans made. But the Lord tells us he went on a journey and he wasted his substance. And it means far more than his money. He wasted his life. He wasted his health. He ruined his name. He ruined everything. Oh, it wasn't part of the plan when he was making it. There was a far country. And he knew what he was going to do when he got to that far country. He journeyed. But dear sinner friend, note, the Lord knew about his journey. And when the Lord was preaching, he told in this parable of the prodigal son, he told of that young man's journey. Young person, let this be the warning. Journeying without Christ in the face of allurements of the world will destroy you. It'll destroy you. Oh, he saw the lights of the far country. I can see him sitting in his home, realizing maybe he's heard of this far country. Maybe he's heard of what goes on in that far country. But while he's at home, he can't do it. But he wants to journey to the far country. And God notes he took a journey. Pages of Holy Writ reveal it. Here's a young man took a journey. took a journey. But sinner, understand this. God knows all about your journeys. In heaven, God knows all about the journey you have taken from the cradle to now. He knows all about it. I remember sitting in this house or this town one night in a home. I just left Craigie Warren Mission with a spear sinner that went with me. Mr. Greer had been preaching. There was a day coming for accountability for sin. Got back to that man's house. He says, "You'll come in a minute." I says, "I will." We began to talk about the day of judgment. And what I'm going to tell you is 100% fact. That sinner, I will never forget it. He threw his head in his hands. And he said this, "Oh boy, I'm in trouble." The realization that God knew all about his life to that moment, all about his journeys. "Oh boy, I'm in trouble." I didn't know the half of him. But he wasn't worried about me knowing it. He suddenly realized that God knew it. And all his journeyings were going to be accounted for. Sinner, you are in trouble with God. He's offended. Your sin goes up before him as this meeting goes on. And you could do well to take those words and let them sink into your heart. "I am in trouble with God." And in light of that, it doesn't matter one iota who else you're in trouble with. It doesn't even matter who doesn't like you. They can't damn you. You've offended Almighty God. The one that has been recording men's journeys since Adam was put in Eden. And yours is recorded too. Acts 9, it was a day of a journey. It was a day of journeying. But I want you to notice something else, sinner. It was a day with a divine intervention. Verse 3 again, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?'" Here's divine intervention in this man's life, introduced by those words. "And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." But note the source of the intervention. From God intervened from heaven. Midday, as Paul tells us later on in his testimony at Acts, the height of the day, bright light of sun, the sun's up, but comes a greater light, the glory of Christ. Because Saul is apprehended. But what a moment, midday. The sun was up, but a greater light appears on this road to Damascus. The glory of Christ, and Christ appears and meets Saul of Tarsus with the very striking question, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Paul spoke of this day so often. 1 Corinthians 15, he tells us, and last of all, speaking of those who had seen Christ after the resurrection, he says, "Last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due time." That's when he was seen of him. Saul of Tarsus met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, and he says, "Saul, Saul." Defining moment. Defining moment. said this before. You go through the scriptures and you find those double words. It's a defining moment. Should it be Moses? Or Abraham in Genesis 22 when he's about to kill Isaac? Or Martha? It's a defining moment in their lives. God speaks to them. And as he's saying tonight in this meeting, sinner, sinner, you're still journeying. You're still going the wrong way. You're still going down this road of madness. I want you to note something. The sinner who reigned with terror is now filled with terror. As he meets the Christ of God. Because look at verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He fell to the earth. It presents the great truth that every unrepentant sinner that stands before the resurrected Christ will be in terror. Sinner, I said this before. You do not want to meet Christ as you are. I'm saying that right now. Do not meet Christ in your sin. Don't do it. The terror of that moment I couldn't describe. If you meet Jesus Christ in your sin, Saul's reign of terror ends. Oh, how different from Acts 7. How different from Acts 7. When Stephen saw Christ, and he said those great words, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of God. There's no terror there. And Saul heard those words. But what a contrasting scene. And dear unsaved, I want you to understand something. As this meeting now stands, taking all our spiritual conditions they are right now. Were Christ to come right now, some would meet him in adoration. And others in this meeting will meet him in terror. Stephen and Saul show that. Stephen looked upon his Redeemer. No condemnation. Oh, condemned be man, but owned by God. Sinner, what good will it do you if all men commend you and God condemns you? Pointless. It's pointless. Now Saul meets the Christ of God. All bravado's gone. You know what Paul was to say later in his ministry? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The great Saul of Tarsus. Bloodthirsty for saints. To this point in his life, bent on the destruction of the church. And on a road to Damascus, the one who was guilty of great terror is filled with terror. Sinner, do you see how it's all going to end up? You meet Christ in your sin, this is it. That's the way you'll meet him, in terror. With the thought given by that word, why persecutest thou me? With the thought, sinner, that all your sin was against Christ. You see, when the prodigal came to himself, when the prodigal came to himself in the far country, when his life was ruined, and his health was ruined, and his name was ruined, but when he came to himself, he got it right. Because he did not say, I will go to my father's house and say, I have sinned against thee, Father, and against heaven. He said, I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Because the prodigal realizes in that ruined life, the prodigal realizes that first and foremost, he had sinned against heaven. And if ever a young man wronged his father, he did. But far above it, he wronged God. And God had marked his journey. And he says, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven. First and foremost. First and foremost. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? All that you did against those believers was against me. Sinner, sinner, is the Lord saying now, why reject me? These 20, 30, 40, 50, dare I say 60, dare I say 70 years. Sinner, sinner, why continually sin against me all these years? Terror filled his heart. A day of divine intervention. But sinner, it was also, it was a day of grace. Verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord. You see, when Saul of Tarsus was put down in the Damascus road, Saul was conquered. His will was renewed. His heart was smitten. Oh yes, up until that point it was hard for him to kick against the pricks. That trouble in his soul, even from Stephen's martyrdom. That life of going against the movings of the Holy Ghost. But here he is, conquered. He trembling and astonished said, Lord, you know what the word means? You know what's, you know how else it's interpreted in Scripture? Master. Master. Unbelievable scene. A man on his way to persecute the church of Christ. Nothing can stop him but Christ. And from the dust of the Damascus road, a cry comes out of the dust. Master. Oh, it's glorious. Master. And by God's grace, Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of the cross. The writer of 14 books of Scripture. But, sinner, I want you to understand what Saul saw that day on the Damascus Road. When Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus, Saul saw a living Redeemer. He saw the evidence of a finished work. That Christ had risen from the dead. Sin had been paid for. That's what he saw. That the Christ whom he sought to destroy was alive. And was in heaven. And all that Stephen said as those boulders fell upon him was right. I see Jesus. standing on the right hand of God. And Saul of Tarsus realizes at that moment that he was wrong, and all his righteousness was as filthy rags. And out of the dust of the Damascus road arose the cry, Master. What grace. Christ could have destroyed him. That would end his reign of terror. But he saved him by his grace. Sinner, Christ could destroy you. But here you are again before him. In a gospel meeting. See what Saul saw. A living redeemer. One who's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, he saw that the price had been paid and that pardon was assured for all who come. The blood had been shed. That was only going to be the only blood that the Apostle Paul was going to rejoice in for the rest of his life. There was a day he rejoiced in the blood of Stephen that has martyred him. But from this moment on, the Apostle Paul would say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of all our sins. Sinner, there's forgiveness right now. The same Christ that saved Saul of Tarsus saved the person in the seat beside you. The same Christ that saved Saul of Tarsus saved your father, saved your mother, saved your grandparents. The same Christ that intervened in Saul of Tarsus' life intervened in your life when he saved your parents, when he saved and intervened in your family. It was divine intervention. It was divine intervention. The reign of terror ended by grace. As I have said, out of the dust of the Damascus road arose a new creature in Christ, Master. To be the greatest missionary of the cross the church has ever had and will ever have. Down, prostrate, fail the rebel. Arose a saint of God. Down, prostrate, fail the persecutor and the hater of Christ. Arose one who said, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Sinner, what's it to be? This day also gives a challenge, doesn't it? Will you arise as Saul dead and live for Christ? Answer that question in your heart before God. He's marking your journey, remember. Will you arise in your heart right now and from this moment live for Christ? And say, Master, this journey has gone on too long. Young person. Little boy, little girl. Only God knows what to do with your life. But he does know. Remember hearing of a mission. United States of America. 2-week campaign. Evening gospel meeting for adults. Children's meeting through the day. There were no converts in the gospel mission at night. But And one little boy got saved in the children's meetings. And as the mission ended, and it did end, and the old preacher, and the day before he left, he was down in the market. And there he saw the little boy that had pointed to Christ, barefoot, selling matches. And the preacher put his hand on him. He says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." His name was Rodney. God kept him. Made him a preacher of the gospel. Preached to thousands. Known around the world as Gypsy Smith. Little boy, little girl. Come to Christ. Teenager. Adult, older person, the challenge of this day is this: will you, like Saul of Tarsus, arise from this meeting? In fact, just forget about the meeting. Arise out of the cauldron of your sin, and from this moment on, follow Jesus Christ. Will you do it? Let us unite our hearts in prayer. And while all the Lord's people are praying for the unsaved in this meeting, we're not going to have a closing hymn. I'm just going to tell you the words of the first verse. It says, "I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed in Calvary. Sinner, will you say now, I am coming, Lord. Coming now to thee. Wash me. Cleanse me in the blood that flowed in Calvary. Arise out of the cauldron of your sin. From this moment on, serve the Christ of God. And then when you die, go and be with him throughout the endless ages of God's eternity." Mr. Greer and I are going to the door. Speak to the Lord's servant there. Speak to him. Tell him you want to talk to him. Make it known tonight, sinner. We can help you be our joy. Give you all the time you need. But why not just now? Saul was bowed before God. When he lifted his head, he was on his way to heaven. Call upon the Lord now. Repent, believe the gospel. May God give you grace to come. Almighty God and Father in heaven, take what's been of thee tonight. Bless it to every heart. What's been of the preacher, just let it fall to the ground. O God, there's dear souls in this meeting without Christ. Save, we pray. Grant repentance towards God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Extend the everlasting kingdom. And may all our journeyings end in heaven above. Part us now with your blessing. Take us to your homes in safety. Bless the meeting in Castle Gore and out in Brisheen. God, add on to the church. Bring in the lost. And may grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all the Lord's people's portion tonight and forevermore. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.